So I'll be honest, I think that was the most I felt the Holy Spirit's presence in this room since I've been here. And so I thank God for his presence. I thank God for when he shows up and how God chooses to move. And I know for me, this is a big Sunday because this is the Sunday we talk about where we're going. And I'm very thankful that God's presence is here with us. I want to say two things real quick before we get going. First, if you happen to have a smartphone of some sort and you have the internet, I just want to give you a site real quick to look at. You can type it in. If you can't get it because of the building, that's fine. It's going to be www, and we're going to put this in future announcements and things like that, but www.bayshorebaptist.church. So just Bayshore Baptist Church, but put the dot before the church. www.bayshorebaptist.church. And that is going to be the place that's going to host all of our sermons. I've had many conversations with individuals that, though they enjoy listening to podcasts of many other places and many other sermons, it's not the same as listening to your church family and your church home. And so we've been working, particularly Robert, of course, always helping with so many things. He has been helping me this week, and we put up all of the sermons. We broke them down into sermon series, but the latest sermons you can get. So even if the holiday sermons weren't in a sermon series, you just go to the all sermons, and you'll see all the sermons. And so that's where you can go if you miss church and you're gone and you're far and you want to go and listen to sermons. We'll put a link up on our website, but we have all of the sermons up there. So if you miss a week, now you won't have my sermon notes, but you can always email me and I can give you the sermon notes. But if you miss a Sunday or you're not going to be here because of health reasons or out of town because of work, you have access to any of the Sundays you miss just by going to www.bayshorebaptist.church. And so we actually own that tag now. So that's going to be part of anytime you want to hear a sermon. And secondly, I want to do a couple things. As we begin talking about our church and where we're going as a vision, I want to start by doing a couple things. I think it's a simple one to acknowledge here briefly. There was a lot of work that went into what's behind me from Trevor and Abby and Bill, of course. You guys all know Bill is such an amazing man who helped so many times. He would hate for me to say that, but he was up here for a long time helping. Putting a lot of work in every day, and so this is all here. But with that, I wanted to say this. As we go forward as a church, I can say confidently that we have a phenomenal staff. From Vicky to Lori to Trevor, we have a phenomenal staff. And I want to just say briefly, could we just acknowledge our staff and just, they don't have to stand. You can if you want. Every single event we've had that has been a service event or a work-related event, they show up. Every event, they're there. They're not the last ones or the first ones and always the last to leave. They're servant-minded. We have a friendship. We're united. We're friends. We enjoy spending time together. We go eat often. We have a phenomenal staff at this church. And I would say, as we talk about vision and where we're going, it starts with the staff. It starts with people that God's placed here in his own design to be here. And I would say, among all staff I've ever worked at, in any church I've worked now 10 years, multiple churches, mega churches, small churches, medium-sized church, there is a unity and a friendship that I haven't seen at many of the churches. And so I want to say that we have an awesome staff, and that's not something they expected me to say, but as I just prayed through this week, I want to acknowledge that. That's an awesome thing. And so you guys voted for all of them to be here, so you can pat yourself on the back for that vote. With that said, you guys had an interim period in which Dr. Steele came in, and he talked about five parts of a New Testament church. You guys put together, and I gave it to you, in the first two pages of your notes, the covenant, our church covenant, that I think it was in 2015, June 7th, 2015, this became actually adopted, and there were five parts of a New Testament church that Dr. Steele constantly said to you guys. Now, I know this because I think he went over that with me a little bit, but really it was because Bonnie mentioned it to me and gave me a handout, and I got that handout, and I put it on right next to my computer every day. It's there. I'll be honest with you, I didn't stare at it a lot, but it was there. It's still there. It's still there, and I want to make a point about that in a second. But the five parts are worship, evangelism, fellowship, discipleship, and ministry. I may not use the exact same lingo, and I may have switched some of the specific subjects as we talk about Vision Sunday, but what I want to say to you is, on my own, I've been here almost about 8 to 9 months. As we get to March, I'll have been here an entire year. As I spent time praying. I spent a lot of time praying, and I spent a lot of time talking about the verse we talked about last week, God saying, seek first the kingdom, the rest of it will take care of yourself. And every time I prayed about what God would have me to do to lead our church, to be the church he wants us to be, I want you to know, without staring at that five list, God kept directing me every time back to elements of those lists. In fact, the stewardship committee noticed this because I met with them. We talked about the budget coming into the new year and three elements of the five I talked about specifically. And I had, at that point, no thought about these five or where we were going on Vision Sunday. I just knew I wanted our church to focus on serving our community. I knew I wanted our church to focus on the mission of the gospel, taking the gospel, being missional. And I knew God was putting it in my heart and pressing into my heart. Really, you've seen this last month, discipleship. And what does that look like? And that needs to be a primary focus of our church. And on my own, the Holy Spirit, as I prayed about where should we go as a church, God continually gave me his presence, continually gave me verses, continued to give me things that spoke to me. So I want to say, Dr. Steele was utterly right in where we're going, where we needed to go as a church. And so as we talk about Vision Sunday, we're going to talk about those five elements. And rather than just saying, hey, here's what it should be church-wise, what does it practically look like? I would say, I've had a couple conversations with new visitors that have come in and said, well, what is your philosophy of ministry? And as I think about that, I'm beginning to recognize my whole heart for church and ministry is transformation over information. It's not about how much you know. It's about doing what you've heard. It's about doing what you've learned. God's given me lesson after lesson of going overseas, seeing people that know far less than us, that know very little about Scripture, but are highly missional, and they see God moving because they're obeying the little bit they know. So it's not about how much you know. It's about with what you know, are you doing it? It's about obedience. It's about being faithful. And when we do those things, we're being the church God's called us to be. Does that make sense? So that's what I want to talk about. As we get going, the first two pages we won't spend a lot of time on, but this is something that you guys voted on, y'all put together. And honestly, on my own journey of praying, God kept bringing elements of these back towards me. So as we get to the third page, it says Vision Sunday. I switched around discipleship and evangelism because I just want to talk about them in a different fashion in which they were written on the other notes. But Bayshore's focus is worship, discipleship, evangelism, ministry, fellowship. And my focus today is how do we practically do this? And I want to be real clear, my job as the pastor is not to have every idea. It's not. That's impossible. It's impossible to have every single idea of how to accomplish being this in a New Testament church. But what my focus is what is the direction of the church? What are we going to focus on? What are we going to start getting busy talking about so that we can get busy figuring out what God wants us to do to accomplish being the church God's called us to be? That's what today is about. So as I thought, what we do together as a church. Now listen, many of these could have been under every category. Some of them I combined two, some I combined discipleship, I combined four, and I could have put other elements in. I didn't attempt to try to put each of them in every area. But here is what, as I prayed, as I was thinking, what do we do together as a church? I had eight elements. We contribute together. That's a big part of being a church. We come together, we give the blessings God has given us, we put resources together so that we can accomplish the ministry of a church. That's what we do. We contribute together. We connect together with each other. You probably have lots of friends and family, but there's an element, and I learned this a long time ago, not growing up in the church, that sometimes my closest connection with people was God's people. It wasn't even necessarily blood or a family. It was God's people. It was the church that I connected with, people I prayed with. They prayed for me. We served together. We worshiped together. There's a connection that should happen at church that may even be more powerful than blood, because the Holy Spirit unites us much thicker than blood. What do we do as a church? We connect together. That's what a church should be about, connecting together. Not groups over here, the young people and the older people. It should be the church, the totality of all of us. We connect together. We may have people we have more alike in common. Whether I don't have kids, I may not have as much in common. But God has called us as a church to connect together, all of us. This is the church. The church is not divided in segments. We're the church. Experiencing life together. Consistently. I threw that word consistently in there. What do we do as a church together? We experience life together. The good, the bad, the hardships, the difficult, the going out and serving, the going out there and working together. We experience life together. That's what church is. Having fun and Christian fellowship together. Many people think Christianity or church is not fun. Then you're not doing church right. Church is fun. I don't mean necessarily every single Sunday hearing a sermon, but the totality of what we do in our time spending together should be fun. It should be enjoyable. Church is an enjoyable thing. It's the blessing that God has given us to have a body of believers that we worship together, we experience life together, we connect together, we contribute together, we accomplish things together. It should be fun. It should be enjoyable. Learning together, we learn together. God has gifted us with people that are gifted teachers. Not everyone in this room has the spiritual gift of teaching, but many do. So not everyone's expected to teach, but not everyone's expected to be the prayer warrior. Not everyone is expected to have the gift of mercy and hospitality. These are gifts that God gives everyone differently, united, which is why we need a body. God has called us to learn together, and we spend time with those who have the gifting of learning. And what I love about community groups and can happen in Sunday school when we talk with others, sometimes the Holy Spirit will say something to somebody in a group that you needed to hear, and they're not a teacher. That's the beauty of the church. I learned that in youth ministry all the time. Kids had phenomenal things that God was saying in their heart that because I asked them, I ended up getting ministered to way more than they thought. They ministered to me often because God was using them, because God lives and dwells in us. We pray together. What is a church that doesn't pray together? I'll tell you what, this week I spent time visiting four individuals that some of them were in hospitals, some were at homes, and I went and spent time with them. We had other staff went and got to go be with other individuals in hospitals. This week there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people that I haven't got the chance to because there's so many people that are going through a lot right now in our church. There's a ton of people. And I would say, man, we got to pray together. People that are in that specific situation need God's people to pray with them. And it feels like you're valued and loved when you're in difficult circumstances and your church remembers you and prays for you. We serve together, not just those outside of us, but together. And I'm going to go a little faster so we can get going. We share our faith together. We worship together. These are all elements as I prayed and thought about what do we do together as a church? What does it look like to be a healthy church? These things should be happening. And so as we get going, we talk about worship together. I could put contribute together as part of worship. I want to say this to you. I just mentioned that I felt the presence of God very thickly as I worshiped this Sunday. As I was worshiping, I felt God's presence. I actually was a little bit afraid because I teared up for a second, but I got it together, came back up here. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I love worship. I connect with God through worship more than any other area that people connect with God. And so I want to say this to us. I want to challenge our church as we go into the new year to do something a little bit differently. I want, and I hope you want, to experience the presence of God. I want to experience when we gather together, there is an ability when we come together as God's people for God's presence to show up more thickly than you may have the rest of the week. Because there's something about God's people showing up in the right attitude, in the right place, with the right spirit, saying God, with an expectation that God shows up and moves. There's something about when we do that, God tends to show up and do that. God wants us to sense his presence. God wants to move in our hearts. God wants to do a work, but we have to want him to. So I've said this before, and I'll say this again. Elements of this have come out many times for me. Two things that I found as I spent time studying the Word of God, this is not in your notes, but what attracts the presence of God? Worship is all about wanting the presence of God to be with us so that he can work on us in the ways that he works on us. What attracts the presence of God? Number one, and there's number two, purity. Purity. Pursuit of righteousness and purity attracts the presence of God. People that are focused on walking with God in a pure manner and righteous way, God's Holy Spirit is attracted to them, attracted to that. And secondly, I've found in my time, worship. And I don't mean just when we gather together. I mean if you take time out of your week to consistently just worship and praise God, God shows up. His presence is attracted to people that worship. It's all over Scripture. I don't have enough time to show you with the amount of material we're covering today, but I have a note under Colossians. We will read these verses in a second, but I said this at the candlelight service. There are over 400 verses in the Bible that talk about singing. Not just worship, but singing to God. If you look at any of the holy moments throughout Scripture, when it's talking about God on his throne, he's got cherubim. What are they doing? They are circling God saying, holy, holy, holy. If you think God doesn't like worship, if you think heaven is not going to have worship, you're not reading the same Bible I'm reading. Worship is a part. In fact, Scripture says even if you won't worship, rocks will worship God. Right? The trees are worshiping God. They're obeying the purpose God gave them, and they are fulfilling worshiping God. We tend to be the ones that don't worship God, even though we're the greatest of creation. We need to worship. We're created to worship. And he says 50 times in commands, worship me. So I would say to you, what attracts the presence of God, Bayshore? It's not the good pastor or a good worship leader. It's a body of people that make worship a priority. Pursue holiness and you will experience as a body of believers the presence of God. I have to tell you, one of the things that one of my favorite moments in research when God, I told you guys before at a D Now, God moved in a way and I understood the presence of God in a very new way. That was years ago. I began to study some different lectures and letters from Dr. Martin Luther King. And I looked at what he endured during the civil rights movement. And I looked at how did they get through that. And I began to look at other missionary movements and missionaries. And one of the things I learned from looking at both that were very similar was when they gathered together, they gathered with a purpose. So you may say, how did they endure all that they went through? How do they consistently keep going to church and keep worshiping with their heads high in the midst of all the hardships they went through? Now, you could look at any missionary movement. You could go to China. How do they endure the fact that they're in a culture that if they even found out you're a Christian, they may kill you? How do you go and worship with your head high in the midst of a situation like that? Here's what I found as I looked more really closely at Dr. Luther King. We don't have enough time, but I'll say this to you, that it was really there that I realized when they gathered together, they came with a purpose. How did they endure all that they had to do? They needed church for the presence of God to fill the building and fill God move so that they could, listen, endure the rest of the week. No matter what they went through the rest of the week, the hardships, the difficulties, the being spit on, the different times of being thrown in jail, no matter what they went through, when they came to church, they knew we needed the presence of God so that we could endure the rest of life. Does that make sense? They had an expectation and anticipation and said, God, show up because the difficulty of the week, I need you to get me through. They had an expectation. And that's what happens when you look at Christians around the world that are suffering. They're not in worship service going, oh, how poor me. They're excited. They're worshiping. They're singing. They're saying, God, show up. Why? Because they need church. They need time of fellowship for God to fill them in a way that will get them through all the hardships of life. Sometimes in church, we miss that. We should come here. Some of us should get away from thinking all the preferences, the things I don't like. Come in with an attitude of expectation. God, show up. Move in me. Give me a spirit. I want to experience your presence. You're sacrificing. When you come in this place already upset, you're sacrificing the presence of God in your life. Why would you want to do that? When I've tasted the presence of God, and I would not settle for anything less than wanting and expecting God to show up and move so that I can endure the rest of my week. That's what worship is. And then you look at Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, and it says this, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. How do we love and how do we do good works? We need to consider, that means a thought process of how do we do this, to stir one another up. And look at verse 25, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. You got to be reminded that in the New Testament time, as these books are being written, there is massive persecution, massive persecution. So these people wanted to get together because I think very similar to what I've just described, they needed God's people. They needed God's presence to endure all that they would endure. Again, every one of the disciples but one would die, would be murdered for their faith. They saw, listen, could you imagine being in a church where you saw every one of your leaders, the ones that were the 12, be killed? Could you imagine? They're all dead. What do we do now? They didn't get like that. They kept meeting and they worshiped. And God, listen, I'm confident that God's presence showed up in such a thick way, they stopped worrying about circumstances and they started relying on God and his presence and they trusted him. And they worshiped in such a powerful way that they knew we need to keep meeting no matter what we endure because God shows up. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. and all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. God tells us to sing hymns and songs together, spiritual songs, and to do it thankfully in the hearts. So as we move on, I want to say this. Worship is something that is not about a worship leader. It's not about a worship team. It's about how you enter into this place. I just got to be honest with you. If you come in and you're bitter and you're unhappy, things are going on, you feel downcast, you've got to get with God and start saying, God, change my attitude. Give me your presence. Show up in my heart so that when I come in, I sense you. I feel you. How can some in church feel the presence of God and say, man, God is moving, and then some are like, I hate it. It's attitude, hearts. We're not right. We're not anticipating. We're not expecting. We need to do that as a church. If we want to experience the presence of God, the more we do that, we're going to feel, as a totality of God's people in God's church, the presence of God. God won't limit others because others don't want to be there. God's going to still show up for those that are here. But the totality of what he could do in this place depends on us coming in the right frame. So worship as a church, I'm calling you to come with better expectations. Pray. Pray during the week about worship service on Sunday. If you've got difficulties going on in your life, sometimes, listen, we go to God with those difficulties, but maybe sometimes we need to put those aside and say, God, I'm coming to you just to pray. Show up Sunday because I need it. Show up. Give my friends words to encourage me. I feel downcast, so I want you, God, to lift me out of this. Show up, God. We need to pray that way. We need to think that way. We need to come with more expectation that God will show up. One thing I want to add is we, of course, worship together often. One of the things me and Trevor are still working through and talking about is occasional special worship nights that are kind of themed nights. It may be a focus on freedom. It may be a focus on praying in regards to our nation. It could be all sorts of different focuses, but not all the time. We're all busy, but maybe occasionally. It could be quarterly. It could be maybe at first this year. We just do it twice a year. But maybe possibly a Friday night or a Sunday night, or finding a night where the focus is just worship. And we just show up and worship, and maybe there's some just different ways of worshiping and why we're singing, but wanting God to show up and maybe doing more special themed worship nights that we're just focusing on God and his presence and, I don't know, inviting neighbors, inviting friends that go to other churches just to come worship together. Churches that come together and just want to worship together. I don't know how many churches would want to combine, but surely some would want that, so we'll see. But we're thinking about adding that. And so also contributing together. I say this a lot, and I'll continue to say it when I talk about money. God has called us to faithfully give, to sacrificially give, and cheerfully give. And God says he blesses those that do that. As we talk about the rest of the elements of what it means to be a church, it's obvious we have to give to make this, to help for this church to be what God wants it to be. We have to contribute faithfully. We have to contribute sacrificially. We have to give according to God's word cheerfully. Not something we do at our, because we don't want to. We have to do it because we want. We're doing it obediently. And God says he will bless us. And so with that said, we're going to move on to discipleship. Discipleship is about connecting together. I put a lot of energy into worship. I don't know how I'm going to make it. Connecting together. I told you, I love worship. Connecting together, learning together, praying together, serving together. I could have put so many more. Discipleship is probably the meat to everything we do here. I look at Matthew. God puts this in the great commandment, the great commission for us, and he says this in verse 18, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples. Not a maybe make disciples. Go make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the end of the age. I put 1 Corinthians 12:14. I kind of skipped a few verses. I could have read the whole text, but I wouldn't have time. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. Not of one member, but of many. The eye cannot say to the hand, the teacher cannot say to the person filled with mercy, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. The pastor can't say to anybody in this church, I have no need of you. We have different gifts that God has given us. Verse 16, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So at our church, we have awesome opportunities for discipleship. I want to talk specifically about Bible study, Sunday school. Maybe some have heard about it that way. I said last week about youth and children that as my time as a youth pastor for 10 years, I surveyed youth from this church. This church was included, as well as I went to White Oak, as well as I went to a church called Belton, which was a mega church. When I polled students, consistently, somewhere between, depending on the church, 95 to 90% of the kids said that we don't talk about the Bible at home, we don't pray to God at home, we don't talk about they would say, I don't even talk about anything that's what I consider significant at home. And so there seemed to be a very big disconnect between talking about God at home and what's happening during the week. And so why I say that to you to say that I think a lot of times people don't go to Sunday school, and sometimes young people don't go to Sunday school, and I'm telling our churches, we talk about Sunday school, it's not just about adults, it's about youth, it's about children. Why would you miss out on the opportunity where there's specifically people that have spent all week studying Scripture, wanting to teach your kids? What are you doing at home that's so much far better than waking up an hour earlier to come for people who are gifted? I mean, we're going to have a youth pastor here soon, a guy that I'm talking with from Alabama might be the guy. I still have to do interviews, but it looks like he might be the guy. And a guy that's called, he's willing to move from Alabama to here for a part-time job because he's that passionate about youth ministry. And you'd miss out on an opportunity for that guy to invest in your student. What are we doing that's more important than that time? I can't tell you what that is. I'm sure it's not as important. Sunday school matters. I'll tell you, as a person who didn't grow up in church, Sunday school was how I got to know God's word. If it wasn't for coming to church on Wednesday or Sunday, I would not know anything because I definitely wasn't going to go deep at home. It's not a knock on my parents. We didn't grow up in church. They didn't grow up in church. The only place for me to get it was church. Now, you may say, well, I don't need the church for that. We talk about God, and that's great. But you're still missing an opportunity. Sunday school matters. Children ministry matters. You going to Bible study so that you can continue to grow. God's called you to be a discipler at home. You're telling me that you couldn't go to one of the classes, even if it's an all-men's class or an all-women's class, and just plug in and study a Bible study during the week? You could. It's vital. It's important. It's important for discipleship. I believe in it. Community groups is an awesome opportunity to connect with younger and older. Do the exact thing I said. The church is all of us. Community groups is a chance for older and younger to gather, take a sermon, and say, okay, so we've learned the word. We've heard the sermon. Now, how do we apply it? The whole point is the focus is for God's people to gather and talk about what do we do with this? Because as I've said over and over, if we're not doing what we're hearing, then what's the point? The point is do it. How do we do it? Sometimes others have better ideas. Sometimes, listen, some of you may go there and like, I don't know how to pray. And you know, in Sunday school, sometimes we're learning, but we don't ever ask the questions. And people may have a lot of questions, but there's not time in that study to really answer those questions and disciple. Well, there's opportunities if you get to know God's people that maybe some younger can get with some older and learn some things. It's a phenomenal opportunity for a church to gather and grow together. Of course, we have Sunday school services and Wednesday service, women's and men's Bible study. I want to push this, and my deacons are going to hear this, but we already say this to Sunday school leaders, and I'm going to continue to start talking about it with community group leaders, but we need more individual and intentional discipleship. You know, if someone you realize needs more time, they need to grow. They need to grow in some area. The best answer isn't always, hey, the pastor. We have a big church, guys. Sometimes it's, maybe I need to spend some more time with this person. I'm going to challenge all of our deacons, all of our teachers that constantly be looking for someone to train to do what you do. We need to do that. It's discipleship. Look for someone that I can pour into. They can do what I do because as we get more leaders and more people that are doing what we do, we can move on to other areas to grow the church. We constantly have to be thinking, raise up leaders. Listen, any business does that. Right? A good manager is not the one that is just the gifted manager, tells you what to do. It's the one that gets others to be awesome at what they do and builds teams of people that are awesome. You go look at Sagemont, they have a 50-year thing. And one of the things he says over and over, I always hired people more talented than myself. He wasn't threatened about his job. He wasn't worried about his job. He's like, if I get people way more gifted than me, we're going to be more successful at a church. So I want to find the most gifted, most talented person, and I want to get them to train other people. That was his entire focus as growing that church. I'm from that church. That's what he did, and I think that's awesome. So every Christian should be helping other believers grow. Every Christian should be seeking to get help. So here's what I want to focus on. I think we do discipleship well. I think we do worship well. I really do think we do fellowships pretty well. I think we can grow in those areas. But the two big areas, what I want to talk about here are the big things I think our church needs to grow in. I think we need to grow in evangelism. And I think that's most churches in America, but specifically our church. We need to focus and grow in evangelism, and we need to grow in ministry, serving our community, and serving even maybe even the community of God's people. These are the, if you were to say, of the five, the two areas that I think there's the most concern, the most area that, I want to say this again, we need to have ongoing conversations. The point isn't you leave from here, and here's what we're doing to evangelize, and here's all the specifics of how we're going to do it. No, no, no. Like I said, I don't have every idea, but what I do want to do is seek and let there be an ongoing conversation of how do we evangelize to our community. I specifically went into this year putting some resources aside so that we could accomplish these things, so that we could actually evangelize our community. I'm going to consistently, as a pastor, keep talking about the importance of us individually being missionaries in our own community. Get ready. I'm going to talk about it all the time. I'm going to be banging that bell all the time. I think I already talk about that all the time. You're just going to keep getting it. But that's my commitment. But we need to move forward thinking about ideas about evangelism and ministry. And so as we talk about evangelism, sharing our faith, of course, Matthew 18, 18 through 20 says, go therefore make disciples of all nations. And then we look at Acts 1, 8 says specifically, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So here's the big things I'm committed to. I'm going to be committed to talking about, and I want you to think about, how can you be more missional individually. God has not called you to not be missionaries in the places God's placed you. Some of us, man, we don't spend any time with lost people, and we need to change that. How do you place yourself in a situation that you get to be around people that don't know God? How can you ever be a missionary if you're never around people that are lost? But God's word tells us clearly we are the light of the world. How can we be the light if we're never around darkness? We can't. So we have to be intentional about being ministry-minded towards those around us. And I'm going to talk lots more about that. But we need to be intentional and, listen, strategic about reaching our community. That needs to be a concern of our church. How do we reach our community? Many of some people in this church have gone to some churches that are really missional, and you've experienced this. We need your help. We need your ideas. We need to be intentional and strategic about reaching our community. I don't have all the ideas, but I want to start talking about what could we do? What would that look like? What kind of resource would it take to do that? Can we achieve that? Maybe that's a future goal, but we can't do that yet. But let's start talking about how do we do that? How do we reach our community? What would that look like? I've already thought of an idea. If you guys have people that probably rent homes all the time, that move in, new neighbors, we could totally have an opportunity where we put some stuff aside as a church, and I encourage you guys, when a new person comes, be the first source of contact where you invite them to church, you bring them some cookies, and beyond that, you start asking, how can I pray for you? And maybe in a couple weeks, you come back and say, hey, how can I pray for you again? And you really start engaging these new people that are moving into your community. You start intentionally realizing, hey, pastor doesn't live here. Other people don't live here. This is a person that's an opportunity for me, someone that's new in your community, that you go out of your way to do that. And we make some resource, and I challenge you to do that. We need to have some intentional ideas, some strategy as to how are we going to reach our community. There could be some other great ideas, and that's what we need to start doing. I've moved a direction for our church, beginning to partner with godly missionaries that are reaching the unreached. Partnering with godly missionaries that are reaching the unreached. We've picked up specifically a guy named Prasad. And I'm going to show you some pictures. They're not the best because I took most of them. But I've worked with Prasad now for multiple years. I've sent a team. I've gone twice with him. As my church before this was going after an unreached people group, I was one of the primary people that went overseas with them to help them do this. And so Prasad was a guy that I met. And I'll tell you, you guys hear me talk a lot about Andrew Adler. And he came from this church, so you know him. Most of you know him. And he's a phenomenal guy. But I would tell you, Prasad, in his own way, he's one of the most anointed people I've ever met. He is a person that everywhere he walks, people get saved, and I can't explain it to you. As I partnered with him, I would be riding down the road, and people would literally be waiting to get saved. I'm not joking. A guy jumped on the back of a car, and he followed us for 2 hours, and we went to eat, and we sat out, and I noticed for 3 hours the same guy's been following us, and I finally went up to him and said, what are you doing? Like, why are you following me? And he's like, I just could tell that you guys are believers, and I need to give my life to Christ. And I'm just like, okay. We went right there, placed hand on him, led him to Christ, and there were some awesome discipleship opportunities. But I would say this is a guy that I'm really excited about. Let me see if we have the pictures ready. Are they working? Maybe not. I'll just talk for a little. Someone tell me if you see a picture show up. So what you would have seen, and many of you are friends, and I need to talk a couple things about Prasad. He is a native Indian. And he is a guy that is told me, and he told me years ago, and I've seen him now completely fulfill this. God had called him a long time ago. God said, you're to go after the tribal people. What you find about missionaries is many times the IMB missionaries will go, and they go to big cities. And they may spend an entire years in a city, and they may only have one convert or a couple converts, and their focus is the city. And Prasad was one of the most unique people I've ever met, because he specifically said, God told me to go to the tribal people because nobody's even trying to reach them. And I can't show you, he literally goes to a village, and those of you who've seen a little bit of his Facebook, he will literally take a picture of a village in India, and he'll say, pray for this village, and he will go specifically and bring the gospel to them, and you will see him do that on a weekly basis. He is going to all the villages, the outskirts, and we're talking hundreds of people that he goes to all the time, and these people, nobody even knows who they are. Not much less are people not praying for them. People don't even know who they are or where they are. And he's going up, and as I've talked with Andrew, he's going up some of the most dangerous terrain in all of India. And he's encountering, he doesn't know what he encounters. He walks into a village with nothing but simply the gospel, and he brings the gospel. And literally, guys, he will live in that village as long as they let him. He will stay and look for someone to let him take him in his home. There's no clean water. There's disease rampant. I mean, all those things, and he takes very serious bringing the gospel to these people that nobody even has on their radar. So as we talk in the future about adopting an unreached people group, we won't be thinking about any of these people because we don't even have their names. Does that make sense? This man has now gone up, and he started training an army of guys to do what he does. He's discipling, and he's telling them, and they're called to the same thing. And he goes, and they do this, and he will bring, IMB will often give him, the way he makes his income is they will give him water filters, and he'll go to these communities. All their sickness, all their disease, mostly all stems from their water. Their water is disgusting, and it makes them sick. And he brings them a water filter, and the IMB basically pretty much pays for it, and then he gives it to them for whatever they'll give him, and his income is whatever they'll be willing to give for the water filter, and he uses it as a gospel presentation. But he also, and I had pictures of it, he brings a gospel film, and he brings the message of Jesus, and they watch a movie. Now, these people don't have movies, so they are like so excited to come watch the movie. The whole village will come out. And so what he's doing is now buying supplies, and he's asking other teams. And when I told him what we're going to give you on a monthly basis, what were the things that you'd be able to accomplish if we partnered with you on a monthly basis? And here's what he's going to be able to do. He does it himself. We're going to be able to mobilize two other teams to do exactly what he does. So they're going to be able to bring the gospel to 10 different villages within a given month. And so within a month, they will go to 10 different villages because two other teams will be doing what he already does, and they'll be able to mobilize, and they've been going with him, but now he's training them to do it without him, and they're going to be able to mobilize totally without him, and they're going to be able to reach somewhere between 500 and 700 people that would never hear the gospel if we didn't partner with him. Now, is that phenomenal? Beyond just, that's awesome, I'm going to be able to show pictures. We're going to be able to see what he's doing. We're going to be able to see these villages he's coming. You'll see these people giving their life to Christ. And like, guys, I've worked with the guy three times, and I can tell you there were salvations every single day from groups of 30 to 40 to individuals that would just come to us and be like, we need the gospel. And I'm like, what is this? I don't even know what's happening. And God just anointed this man with the gift of evangelism. And he's taking the gospel. He risks everything every time he goes to a village. All it takes, and I've seen this, we walked into one village, one picture I would have had, where 15 men surrounding us, and I've said this before, I thought we were about to get killed. 15 men came up yelling and screaming and rah, 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 and I was like, whoa, what's going on? Later I'd find out we were in a region that you're not supposed to share the gospel, but they had churches in the village, so I was really confused, and they surrounded us, and they're yelling and going crazy, and Prasad just fired with the Holy Spirit, stood there and talked to 15 men, and they all like settled down and they listened, and one man got saved. And I just sat here going, Prasad, yay! And he's like, so thank you for coming. And I'm like, thank you for being here, because I don't even speak their language. I definitely didn't do anything. But I say that to say, we're partnering with this guy, and he is mobilizing. One of the things you'll see too is he'll go into about 10 different villages, and about the 10th village in, he builds a church so that all these different villages that don't even spend time together can have a place within walking distance, and they'll come, and he trains the pastor, and the pastor stays, and he keeps going. That's what he does. He builds a church, he gets 10 different villages, they come, they worship here, and he moves on, and that's what he does, and his whole goal is to train people to do the same thing he's doing, and I'm just telling you, he's impacting thousands of people's lives within a given year. And he's bringing the gospel. I've never seen the amount of salvations and how God's moving. And he purposely brings a pastor in, and he'll stay in those regions to train them because he doesn't want to leave discipleship out. And he focuses on bringing someone who's called to be a disciple. He's an evangelist. He evangelizes these guys' disciple, and he trains them all. He's an incredible man, and we'll talk more about him. And I would say to you, you can find him on Facebook, and some of my friends already know this, and you'll see all his videos, and he'll like everything you have. But I would say to you, be careful, because the one thing that you have to be careful about is we're giving him an amount that I know is good for him now, but if everyone just started giving him amount, you have to realize that he's lived his entire life on less than $20 a month, you know, and that's a guy that's doing well, and he's being funded, and so we're going to give him $50 a month is what we've budgeted, and that's all he needs, and it's actually going to more than double what he's used to so that he can do what he's doing. So don't give him money. He may even put up there something. Don't give him, say, hey, I'm from Bayshore, and we're supporting you, and we're praying with you. I'm going to talk about him. We're going to have videos, but follow him. I mean, you're going to be inspired every week seeing the work he does. You'll see what I'm trying to describe to you. I can't describe it totally, but it's an amazing, amazing thing, and I want to go beyond that. The reason I want to do this, let me tell you my real motivation why I want to do this. Because I want to inspire you to realize, hey, what I'm asking us to do in our communities is way less risky than what he has to do. Much less of a taxing thing. He has to leave his family and go to a village, and he doesn't know what's going to happen. He has to drink that same dirty water, get the same sicknesses, be around these people that he doesn't know, right? And that's his entire life that he's committed to. And we just have to go to a neighbor and begin a conversation where we can share the gospel with him. My goal is that he inspire us. Oh, look, hey, I'll go quick. So, hey, look, these are in every little parts of India. I mean, it's an idol. It's obviously not of God. Go to the next one. That wasn't it. Hey, so that's one of the pictures you would see. It's hard to see, but there's a village. This is one of the examples of him taking a shot and saying to all his Facebook friends, pray, I'm bringing the gospel to this village. And if you had more pictures, you'd see that he's on a bike and he has all these supplies. This is a group of them having to walk through some terrain. These are some of the guys that he works with. And that's me working with him. But he's the guy right here with the yellow shirt. That's Prasad. And I don't have a good picture of his family. But that's one of the times I went with them. Here's the Jesus film of a community gathering, looking at the Jesus film. Here's another one. If you had a better picture, you'd see how many. There's a lot. That's him. I was there at this time. This man was an alcoholic that got convicted to give his life to Christ and surrender. This is a group of them that after he did the Jesus film at the end, after coming and bringing the gospel, he would baptize them before he leaves that community. And then one of those guys, you know, one of those guys that's with him, that's just an example of the amount of villagers that would gather every time we shared the gospel. And that was my buddy Bri that went with me this last time. So hold that real quick if possible. One of the things he said, so that's the first thing he's going to do, and one of the things he does, and I'll show you in a second, he brings medical kits to them, and he brings hygiene. These people don't wash, they're not just not like us. They don't have toothbrushes or any ability to clean themselves. He brings kits for hygiene, and that's one of his main focuses, and routinely, he'll set up, at the church he set up, he'll bring nurses and Christian doctors that donate their time, and they come, and they specifically spend a large season with these villagers that will come in, and they'll treat as much as they can treat with these doctors. So he routinely brings them. So that was the two things he said our money would supply, is bringing two other teams to do what he does, but then continue to pay for hygiene that he brings to all the villages beyond the other things he does. Those are examples of the hygiene kits. And go to the next one. That's just an example of some of them, some of the villages, and get some of the, one of the guys that is on his team, and they're praying with him. This is a group at a church that he works with, that he teaches and trains, and I don't know all their names, but this is an example of the church they built for a lot of the 10 that came about. That's the first church they built. This man here, and we can pause here for a second. So this is, remember that picture that had the Bri, the big old buff man. You would have seen me like really short next to him, but he was like big and buff. He had this massive group of somewhere around 60 people in a village. And so what I experienced when I went and shared the gospel to these villages, one village I went to, so it was either one or the other. Either the entire village was open to Christ and they all got saved, or you go to a village and nothing would happen. And you could sense the presence of this place is not open to the Spirit. And it was almost, I mean, it's so New Testament that it's like, okay, wipe your feet, go to the next. And that was a village that they all got saved. And the church I was just at, we were going after the unreached people group, and I won't say their name in case somebody hears my pod, you know, our podcast and finds their name. That church, they hide the name because they don't want them to know. This man here is an example of that village that we were sharing the gospel with. He didn't respond. All these people responded. And the Holy Spirit, when I first walked in that place, was telling me there's something special about this guy. So I had been training Bri to do the gospel presentation that I did the majority of the time. That time he did it. And this man, God kept telling me there's something special. And I don't have much time, but I walked over and I waited for Prasad to talk with all the people that were accepting Christ. I asked Prasad to come over and I said to him, I said, man, the Holy Spirit has told me to come and talk to you. And this man here had a guy come by a month before, healed his leg. This guy was utterly crippled from both legs down. He's the elder of the people group that I'm talking about. He's the eldest person among that people group. He was completely crippled. A guy healed both his legs, but never, he said, in the name of Jesus, but didn't tell him about Jesus. And so I came to him and said, man, the Holy Spirit's telling me I need to talk with you. And he starts crying, and his wife grabs my arm uncontrollably and tells Prasad, it's like, I've been waiting for someone to tell me about Jesus. And he told me a month ago, my entire legs got healed. The man told me in the name of Jesus, walked away, and I haven't known who this Jesus was. So I've been walking around for an entire month saying, where's Jesus? Who's Jesus? And when we came and shared the gospel, I mean, you should have seen the emotion. But here was the awesome thing that happened. The man found out. I said, hey, here's who we're looking for. We've gone to village after village looking for these people. The church had sent all these scouting teams to find these people, and they couldn't find them. This place, when we started sharing the gospel, this man was the oldest person we could find of these people, and he literally took out a piece of paper and wrote every community where all those people were at. Wrote it out, and the missionary came to us and said, this takes usually 8 years of work, and with one man coming to Christ, he listed every village, this amount of people are there, I'm the oldest person of this tribe, I was the most original person, and he begins to tell a story, and you're just like, that's God! Oh my goodness! So that guy I have a very fond story of, because the church I just left, I'm sorry if I blew your ears out, that man right there was like the gold mark and set that really that church up for the next many years of accomplishing the goal of bringing the gospel and starting a church with this unreached people group that would have never, ever had the gospel if Americans hadn't gone and brought the gospel. And so that's an example. As we move on, we can turn the lights on. My long-term goal for our church is to adopt an unreached people group. But right now, we're at the place that we're going to adopt people, and I think my goal for our church, guys, it's not fair for us to go somewhere and tell them to do something that we're not doing. And I've said that over and over. My goal for us in this season of Bayshore is let's get serious about ministry in our community, bringing the gospel to people in our community. Let's be faithful here before God grows us enough to go there and do the work of adopting an unreached people group. But I want to partner with people that are doing those things to inspire us. I think people are motivated by inspiration. They're not motivated by telling people what to do. So we're partnering. Every time you give, you're given to the ministry. And again, somewhere between 500 and 700 people are going to receive the gospel every single month because of your faithful giving. We're going to get to enjoy a partnership with Prasad. He's already my friend. For the last 3 years, been working with him. I've gone up there 3 times with him, 2 specific times, 1 time with the youth I raised up to go, but I had taken this job right before we left for that trip. And so I say, what an awesome opportunity. And so beyond that, and I'm going to have to rush. We don't have too much time here. But long-term goal is sending teams for unreached people. And secondly, the thing we need ideas about is being intentionally and strategic about serving our community. And I mean serving. I mean small pockets, big pockets, as a church, really mobilizing and having and collecting the best ideas of what does it look like for us to serve LaPorte. I want our church to be known as a church that serves. When things happen in the community, I would love for our church to be one of the first people that are like, what can we do? And doing something. Does that make sense? We need to be a church that serves our community, and we need good ideas. And again, the point isn't just to talk about it today. Ongoing conversations throughout our time as a church, what does it look like? What can we do? What can we accomplish? We need to serve our community. We need to bring the gospel to our community. We need to partner with people that are serious about bringing the gospel to those who have never heard the gospel. Those are the two greatest areas our church needs to grow. And finally, you can read this on your own. Our church needs to fellowship together. I have a lot here about that. But all things that we do, from fun to entertainment, they're gifts from God. God has given us the ability to have fun and fellowship as a church. We do a lot of fellowships, and we need to continue doing fellowship. We need to do fellowship in a unique way that might be gospel as well, and it might help bring people to Jesus. I don't know, but we need to have a lot of ideas. But we need to get busy about serving and being missional, because that's what a church is. That's what a church is called to be. So does that make sense? Here's the vision for our church. Here's where we're going. We're already, some things are happening. Again, I've mentioned some resources have already been set aside for 2017 that when we have good ideas, we can go after them in terms of serving our community and outreaching our community. But this is what we need to be about. We don't need to be about coming in here, getting focused on our preferences and fighting. We need to be a unified church saying, this is the stuff we want to be about. This is why I go to church. This is why I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor to see church become the church God's called us to be. And if we're not serving, if we're not outreach, we're missing out on what God's called us to be. Make sense? Let me pray and we'll come into a time of worship. Please read the rest of this. And again, most of this is ongoing conversations. I intend on having some buckets at some point somewhere where you can submit some ideas. And finally, the last thing I want to say, and I ran out of time, but I want to start seeing testimonies in our church. And what I need to see really is if you're interested and willing to share a testimony. Testimony doesn't have to just be when you got saved. Testimony can be what God's doing now, what God has done, things that I've overcome because of God in my life and how he has freed me from sin and other things. We need to praise God through testimony more often as a church. And so I would love for you, if you have an awesome testimony or man, you feel led that you want to share what God's done in your life, we need more of that as a part of our worship service. And so we're going to have these things and have some buckets and allow opportunities for you to submit ideas. It's an ongoing conversation, but this is the direction God has put on my heart for our church, and I hope to see in the many years how God really does something awesome and we grow as a church because we're being faithful. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for today. I know I'm a little late, but God, that doesn't matter. What matters is that, Father, you're here with us and you have plans for Bayshore. God, you are our future. You are our past. And I pray that, God, that we look back in 2017 going into 2018 and we have so many things to rejoice in. As we give you thanks because of all that you've done throughout 2017, that we would look at this as an incredible beginning for our church to really be the church you've called us to be. Let us be inspired to be who you've called us to be in our own families and our communities, and let us combine as a church to accomplish feats that we could only accomplish by coming together as a body and being the faithful church you've called Bayshore to be. We want to see you move in powerful ways, not just in our community, but God, also around the world. So let us get on fire for your kingdom work and find ourselves every Sunday being inspired by your presence, showing up and stirring in new ways that inspire us to do the things you've called us to do every single week. We love you, and it's your name we pray. Amen.